Pastor Connor, sure appreciate you. So glad you're here tonight. Tomorrow, we want to emphasize, before we get into tonight's message, I want you, especially young people in school, bring somebody out tomorrow. I really want to push a challenge tomorrow for you to try to bring a friend to Wednesday night service. Try to bring someone with you. Now, the message will be geared for all of us, of course, but if you have a young adult or someone that has a big decision coming up in their life, tomorrow night's message, just to give you a heads up, it'll be on making a bad deal. You know, sometimes as believers, I know that's not a term that we really use all that often, but tomorrow night I'm going to preach a message on that. Sometimes we trade in all the wonderful things that God's given us for second best and for second hand things. So that'll be tomorrow night. Please be praying for that. So glad you're here tonight. Grab your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15. While you're getting there, a priest, a rabbit, and a minister walked into a blood donation center. The receptionist asked, "Do you guys know your blood types?" The rabbit quickly spoke up and replied, "Well, I know I'm a type O." Give you a minute to get there. Trust me, I have pages of dry jokes. I love them. I love them more when my wife's here because she wrings her hands and squirms the whole time. Teenage boy asked his grandpa what the secret to a long life was. And the grand, very wise older man, he said, "I don't argue with idiots." The grandson looked at him and said, "That doesn't make any sense. That can't be what it is. I don't think it's connected at all." And Pap looked at him and smiled and said, "Yeah, you're probably right. I won't argue with you about it." A tricky doctor opened a clinic with a sign that said, $50 treatments. If you weren't satisfied or you weren't healed by the time he got done, if you weren't cured, he would give you $200 back. So it's a $50 payment, and he'd give you $200 back if you weren't cured. So, of course, there's a smart aleck in that town, and he decided that he was going to make some money off this doctor. So he got a great idea. He said, doctor, he waited in line, and hopefully it wasn't like a Pennsylvania clinic where you sit for 45 minutes in the waiting room after you check in, and then they put you back in a room, and it's another 45 minutes as you wait for the doctor to get to you. I lived in Pennsylvania for about 20 years, and I understand and know that. Well, he got, the doctor was there, and he said, sir, I've lost my sense of taste. I can't taste anything. And he told the nurse, go get me the red box over there. I need the dropper from the red box. And he got it, and he got it out there and dropped it onto his tongue. And he said, oh, he said, this tastes like kerosene. And the doctor said, great, you're healed. Give me $50. So he gave him his $50. A few days later, the patient had returned, and he thought, this time I got the doctor. This time he said, this time, doctor, I've lost my memory. I cannot get my memory back. I don't know what to do. The doctor again looked at the nurse and said, grab the red box. We're going to have two drops out of the red box. And the patient said, no, wait a second. That's kerosene. You're not going to get me with that again. The doctor smiled and said, I'll take my $50. Well, he went home and he thought about it. Well, a week later went by and he thought, well, I got the doctor this time. I got him beat. I'm going to get my money back. We're going to make this thing happen. So he goes in and he waits. He said, doctor, I can't see. The doctor hands him two bills and he says, I'll admit your vision's cured. You won your $200. The man looked down and it was $2 bills in his hand. He said, wait a second, you gave me. And the doctor said, thank you. I'll take my $50. Sometimes we try to make deals with God and make deals with people that are not as slick as they should be. Luke chapter 15 this evening. Luke chapter 15. Give you a moment. I want you to see it. I know you're going to know the stories tonight, probably from the youngest to the oldest. You've grown up in church. If you've grown up in church, you'll probably be extremely familiar with these stories that we'll talk about, but I want to try to help you tonight and challenge you. Even in my life as a believer, there have been a lot of times where things have gotten very difficult in my Christian life, in my walk with God, trying to follow Him and do what's best. Things come up. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible has this phrase there in verse 14, talking about, of course, that prodigal son. It says in verse 14, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want." I want to ask you tonight, have you ever been to that place where you've spent it all? You've done all you could. You've done all you thought was possible, and you just don't know what else to do. Have you spent it all? Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these dear folks came out, Lord. I'm so thankful for their friendship, Lord, and for their desire to seek you. Help us, Lord, to have a touch from you tonight, that your spirit and presence will be known. Lord, guide and direct my heart and mind. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. I'm so unworthy to serve you and to preach your book, Lord, but you saw fit for us to be here tonight. And God, help us, please. Help our lives to be changed forever. In Jesus' name, amen. The prodigal son, we know the story, and I'll review it, of course, but have you ever been to the place where you've spent all your substance or you've spent all your youth? Now, there's some of you here, you haven't quite spent all your youth yet, but you could get to a place where you do. See, this prodigal son, it all started with a poor decision, and I won't retell the story of the prodigal son, but you know the story. See, he wanted what was owed to him. He wanted his portion of the inheritance because he thought he knew better. See, every bad decision, when it comes to us spending up our youth and spending up the things that we have, it always starts when we think we have our eyes on something bigger and better than what God really wants for us. He made a poor decision. See, he got his eyes fixed on the temporary, on the temporary things instead of the eternal. Let me give you a Brother Phil example. You've gotten many of those this week. If you had my little ones here, Keziah and Cece, Cecilia and Keziah, if you had them here this evening, just like many of your kids, and I said, Cece and Keziah, do you want one lollipop right now? I'll give you a dum-dum right now. You know, dum-dums are real little. I'll give you a dum-dum right now, or if you wait till after church, until we get back to the hotel room, I'll give you two blow pops. Those are much bigger, and they have bubble gum in the middle. Do you know which ones my kid would choose? Immediately. There doesn't even need to be a thought. It's the instant gratification. Because we're so fast to trade in the eternal for the temporary. That temporary fix. And listen to me, in our lives, young people especially, but all of us, it ought to be that we aren't at a place where we spend all our substance and all our youth on temporary things. Young people, single people, I'll plead with you. Don't trade in, listen to me, don't trade in a godly helpmate. Don't trade it in for a kiss. I love Miss Casey so much. She takes care of me so well. I don't know what I'd do without my wife. She's so special and important. I told Preacher the other day, after 18 years, I'm finally getting a taste of what love really is. It's taken 18 years for me to just start to get it a little bit, to understand how special that lady is to me. Listen to me. Don't trade in the godly helpmeet that God has for you. Young ladies, don't trade in the man that God has for you, for some temporary little fix, for some little fling because he's cool or he's the party guy or he has a little bit of money. We trade it in. You trade in a godly family, a mom and dad that love you and want to protect you, want the best for you, and you go behind your back and you mess up your life for a stupid cell phone. Listen to me. This thing is a loaded gun. I've watched more people blow their brains out with this this is more dangerous in my kids' hands than a gun. Because especially my little girls, they know, don't touch it. They've grown up around dad having guns in the house. I usually pack two like Yosemite Sam. I don't trust nobody, but I'm in Pennsylvania and I don't have my concealed carry here. So I'm not. Any officers watching or in the crowd? You trade in the good things that God has for you for a temporary little fix, for one night. Listen to me. Sometimes that's all it takes is one night in Clinton, Iowa. There's a dear lady in her mid-60s, Mrs. Gibblestein. She sings in the choir. Her testimony, she allows me to tell it, part of it, is a teenager. She grew up in church. Her mom and dad and her grandparents grew up in a good Bible-believing, preaching church and raised her right. One time, one night, she was pressured to go out with those public school kids that she knew. Got into a car accident, fooling around. Mrs. Gibblestein loves the Lord. She's never been married. I don't know if part of it's because of what happened, but Mrs. Gibblestein's missing half an arm. And Mrs. Gibblestein stands there and smiles, a beautiful grown woman that loves the Lord and serves the Lord with her life, is a dear friend of mine. She has a permanent reminder of what it's like to spend her youth on the wrong things. Don't make a poor decision. 2 Corinthians 4:18, the Bible tells us this, while we look not at those things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Young people, listen to me. Young men, that pretty girl, a lot of times she's wearing a whole lot of makeup. She got that barn plastered. Someday, her face isn't going to quite look the same. Someday, young ladies, that strapping, brawny man with that chiseled jawline and that tight stomach, he might one day get a little bit of flippity-floppy flab right there. You can kind of knock it around a little bit. Don't do that. He might smack you. Don't trade in the temporal. Don't trade it in. I'm not saying marry the ugliest girl you find. Marry the one you have, and don't marry the ugliest guy you find. But marry what God has for you in His will and His way. Don't trade it in. Don't trade in a godly spouse that'll stick by your side through the hard times and through the hardships of life. Don't trade that in. Don't trade in a godly church and a godly family for a temporary fix. A cell phone, a kiss, a car. Listen to me. Get busy investing in the eternal. Parents, get busy investing in the eternal. We're so worried about the temporal. I didn't have a nice car when I grew up, so I want to make sure my kids have a nice car. They're going to go wreck it, dummy. Don't buy them a nice car. What? That's the novel idea. Make them work for it. Make them learn they have to work for things. A poor decision was made. There was a pitiful realization, and I'll speed up with this example. But then, of course, there was the embarrassing return. And in his life and in his situation, this prodigal son, there was a wonderful reception. In verses 22 through 24, we see he comes home to the father. And you know the story, and I won't belabor it, but listen to me. The Bible says that he came to himself. The reality is, not many do. Not many come back. Not all prodigals leave, but not many prodigals come back. And you meet a guy like Brother Phil, young people, who has a rough past, who's seen the world and been in some bad places. And some of you, you might get it in your mind that you need a testimony like that. That you need to have something rough in your life to talk about. Trust me, you don't. If I could wash the scars, you have no idea what to this day still goes on inside this thing. You have no idea the things that go on inside this thing that I have to deal with still. Listen to me. Yes, Jesus Christ paid for the sins of my past, my present, and my future. But there are some consequences to the sin that I did. See, when you open up that box, there's some other things that come along with it. And God doesn't want that for you. Neither does your pastor, neither do your parents, and neither does Brother Phil. Don't make a bad decision, because a lot of folks don't come back. Don't spend all your energy. Don't spend all your substance on frivolous things. We waste our times. We skip out on church and we miss revival because we think, well, we got to pay for this big extravagant vacation. And I know folks all over the country, and hey, by the way, thank God, I'm not chastising you. I'm glad you're here. And for those that had to work and pull things like, I understand that. But listen to me, there are folks, I know folks that take vacation. It's that serious. They take vacation when revival comes to their church. They make sure that they're there because they understand the difference between the temporary and the eternal. And I'm not saying don't save up and do nice things with your family. But sometimes we are so fixed on the temporary enjoyment of life and the temporary satisfaction because I have to have what all the other preachers have. This suit came from a discount store somewhere. The gray suit that I was wearing, I'll probably wear it again tomorrow. I stole that from Andre. Now, he probably got it from Village Discount. It's like a Salvation Army out our way. And occasionally, a hobbit dies that is my size, and I get his clothes. He used to have to be a lot bigger, but now they're much smaller, a little bit smaller, I guess. But listen to me. He had a wonderful reception. But do you understand that prodigal, he came home and still had nothing. He came back as an employee. There are some things that you can go out and do, and oh, you may still come back and still come home. But there are some things that you might not be able to do anymore that God wanted for you, that your parents wanted for you, that the future had for you. You could ruin yourself and taint your life to a place. Oh yeah, God can use you, but not the way He wanted to. Oh, he still had God and he still had his family, but that prodigal had nothing left. Have you ever been there where you spent all your substance? And you spent all your youth. David, I won't have you turn there. You know the story of David. And we find out in Acts chapter 13 and verse number 22, you know that David was a man after God's own heart. But listen to me. Have you ever been to a place where you spent all your character? Where you've spent all your character. That means your mental and moral excellence. That's what character is. That means when you're in private, you do proper things. You're who you are in private, what you are in public. You have some character about you. When you could cheat someone or steal something, you don't. You choose to do right. You make things right. Someone of character. And David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. But listen to me, his mistake began, and my mistake begins, and your mistake begins when we neglect an area of our life. Neglect came in. In chapter 11 and verse 1 of 2 Samuel, like I said, you don't have to turn there. I just want to give it to you. So if you do want to go back and study it, the Bible says that David tarried. It was the day that the kings were going to go to battle. Listen to me. I can't say 100% for sure, and Pastor Conner can correct me if I'm wrong. I can't say 100% for sure that David was supposed to be on the battlefield. I don't know that 100% accurate for sure. I don't know that he was supposed to be on the battlefield that day. But I can tell you this 100% for sure. There was a place that David had no business having his eyeballs and no business having his body. And he neglected an area of his life. A man after God's own heart let an area of neglect come in. And I don't know where David was supposed to be at that moment, but I know he wasn't supposed to be on that rooftop gazing at Bathsheba. That's where he wasn't supposed to be. And you and I, the start of us losing our character is when we begin to neglect. When we begin to think, well, brother so-and-so did it. Well, you don't understand how they treated me. Well, I saw this guy get away with it. Neglect. And then came the lust, of course, in verses 2 through 3. You know, Job in Job 31:1, the Bible says he made a covenant with his eyes. I'm the kind of guy, I turn my head when inappropriate things come on. I just do. I've done it ever since I got saved. If something comes on, and I'm not even talking, I'm talking biblical nudity comes on something, I turn my face still to this day. I don't look upon it. You know why? Because I have a beautiful wife that I love. I don't want my heart and mind distracted by anyone or anything. Job made a covenant with his eyes. He said that I would not look upon a maid. He wasn't going to look at inappropriate things. If something looked inappropriate, he'd turn his head. He said, I'm not going to do that. But David, see, David neglected an area of his life. And because of that neglect, lust came in. And that lust, of course, led to adultery. And that adultery led to deception. And that deception led to making another drunk. In verse 13 of chapter 11, Habakkuk said this in chapter 2 in verse number 15. Listen to what God said about a situation like that. He said, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on thy nakedness. Listen to me. When you lose your character, you know it's disgusting. I used to think that was funny. I used to be that guy. I used to be the guy that people get drunk with for the first time or try a drug with for the first time. I used to think that that was cool. God says, woe to them. You know what happens when you and I lose our character? You know what happens to us, Brother Bob? We're like vampires. When I lose my character, you know what we do? We start to suck the character out of other people. And David got to a place in his life where the character, he got so low on character that he was going to suck away Uriah's character. I'm going to go get him drunk and I'm going to use and abuse him too. See, when our character begins to fail, we start to abuse the character of other people. Have you been there? Have you been to the place where you've lost your character? Where something inside has you so upset and stirred? Listen to me. It's the complete opposite. You know what good character does? It provokes the love and good works. Good character gets someone to do the right things. Hey, come to church with me. Hey, do this with me. Hey, come visit this person with me. Hey, let's build this or do this or hey, let's get involved. Bad character, complete opposite. It drains the good things out of others. Hey, let's go do something wrong. Hey, let's go try something inappropriate. It drains the character. Oh, have you been to a place where you lost your character? He neglected, he lusted, he committed adultery, he committed deception, he made another drunk. In verses 15 through 17, he commits murder. Then he covers up his sin in verse 27. And then, of course, in chapter 12, he's rebuked. Being corrected is draining. Being correcting doesn't feel good. I've been to a place in my life in the past few years where things got very difficult. It got difficult on the road. I work with a lot of church plants and places that can't take care of us, and I don't care that they can't. I go anyways. In times in life, things get hard sometimes, and life gets rough, and you get medical bills, and you get struggles, and all these things start to pile on you. And listen, Brother Phil has been there. I've been there as a born-again believer. Listen to me. I know what it's like to get to a place as a preacher where I spent all my character. I didn't stop praying and reading my Bible. I didn't stop teaching Sunday school class and stop preaching. Oh, I still put on the outfit, still walked in the church, but the smile was just a little bit gone. And though I may not have done things like David did, but I needed a preacher, and I needed my pastor, and I was thankful for it. Called me into the office one day and said, Brother Phil, and he smacked the table. He said, I don't care how rough and how hard life gets. God is good, and you put a smile on that face. And he helped straighten out, Brother Phil, when I got to a place where my character was so... It's draining to be corrected. It's draining. But I'm glad for friends. I'm glad for people that care about me and care about us when we get to a place where our character is so gone and so destroyed, finally he got to a place where he'd spent all his character. Psalm 51, let me read you this. Here's what David said in Psalm 51. He said, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." He begged God. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David got to a place where he'd spent all his character. What's it going to take in your life? What's it going to take, sir? What's it going to take, ma'am? Unfortunately for us, oftentimes, doesn't take much, does it? Doesn't take much for us to lose our character. Fellas, how about it? Kids get a little bit too loud. They break something. It's really not that expensive or really that big of an inconvenience, but I'm busy. Doesn't take much sometimes, does it, Brother Ben? Doesn't take much for me to lose my character. It's so easy because oftentimes we neglect those areas. Young people, you try so hard to listen to mom and dad and be respectful and do what's right. 5 minutes of a stupid video game. Listen to me. It does the same thing to Brother Phil. It does the same thing to me. I watch my son and my daughter. They get a couple minutes of video game, and man, they're such good kids. They do right. They get their school done. I think, man, I'm going to reward them. Let them play a game. Not more than 5 minutes that video game system's on, and I ask for something very simple, something stupid and simple. Just, hey, turn the dryer back on. Mom had towels in there, and it always takes a little bit more for some reason. Just crank it back up into the top the whole way. Crank it back up on 70. I'm in the middle of something. Character gone for a stupid video game that doesn't care about us, doesn't put food on the table. Stupid people on the internet, that they're not there for you when you have a bad day at school. They're not there for you. The mom is, dad is, and yet we lose our character so fast. Ladies, sometimes I watch you lose your character over the simplest things. We're not diligent enough. Hey, have you been there? Have you been to a place where you've spent all your character? I have. I've been there. And it doesn't feel good. Hey, have you been to the place where you spent your substance in your youth? Have you been to the place where you've spent all your character? Have you been to the place where you spent all your life? Thankfully, you're here tonight. In Luke chapter 16, you should be just about there. Luke 16, the Bible tells us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know the story. And the Bible says in Luke 16 and verse number 19, talking about this rich man, how he got to a place where he had spent all his life. The Bible says this in Luke 16, 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, the Bible says, and fared sumptuously every day. Let me tell you, he began to spend his life and waste his life. He prospered in sin. The Bible tells us this rich man prospered in sin. He had the best clothes. He lived the best. Listen to me. That is not a bad thing. That doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have nice things. He lived sumptuously every day, the Bible says. He made poor decisions. It wasn't the blessings that he had that made him inappropriate. Was he didn't do anything for anyone else. He was selfish. He was a selfish man. He prospered in sin. In verses 19 and 22, you see there in the story, he wouldn't even give a beggar a crumb. That's how I know. He fared sumptuously every day. He was so well off, and though there was beggars there needing help, This rich man, the Bible says, you couldn't even be bothered. He prospered in sin. Listen to me, there's a difference in being successful and being successful in sin. You all know what Jesus did when he had success in his life. I'll read it to you, but you know the story in Mark chapter 8 when he feeds the 5,000. It tells us there in verses 5 and 6. I'll skip down some. It says, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. Listen to me. You know how you waste a life? You know how you waste a life? Prosper in sin. Don't care about anyone else. Listen to me. I understand what it's like not to have a whole lot. I understand that. I work with the homeless in our city. I started an addiction program at the beginning of the year, and we do whatever we can. I do whatever we can, wherever we can. And I don't know how you could go long and have anything at all and see someone hurting so badly. And every day, the Bible says, every day he wore purple. And in the Bible, purple was a dye, a very expensive fabric. Only the richest of the rich could wear purple. And when I went to school, we'd call you Barney. I had a purple hoodie and had a green lining inside. And thankfully, I played football. No one was going to call me Barney, but I called it affectionately. It was my Barney hoodie that I wore to school. Purple meant something back then. It was fancy and special. And this man wore it every day of his life. And he prospered in sin. He prospered in it. Uncaring and uncompassionate. And he wasted his life. Not only did he prosper in sin, but he postponed salvation. Brother Phil, how can you say that? How do you know? Because the Bible tells us he died. And the Bible says he opened his eyes in hell. He woke up in the devil's hell. He was an almost, right? Like in Acts chapter 26 and 28, like Agrippa. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Listen to me, that's a pitiful way to lose your life. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ your Savior, and you're wasting your life away and waiting, not many people have deathbed confessionals. There's not many. There are not many. There are not many that get them. Don't postpone. Not only did the rich man prosper in sin and waste his life away, he postponed salvation. And he died and he went to hell. Not only did he postpone salvation and prospered in sin, but we see that he had a pitiful end. He ended up spending everything that he had. He was so rich here. And he had so much. Yet in verse 24 of Luke chapter 16, it says, and he cried and said, Father, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, that's the poor man, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know what hell is? Hell is spiritual bankruptcy. In hell, you're so poor and so broke, he's absolutely spiritually bankrupt. Out of hope. Out of it all. And all he can think about is just a little bit of earthly relief. Some water on his tongue. Oh, don't spend all your life. Hebrews 9:27, the Bible says it's a point on the man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. We are all going to have that day. Listen to me. Don't waste all your substance and all your youth. Young people, and when I say young people, I mean like 30 and under. Young people, don't waste it. Don't waste your youth on temporary stuff. Listen, provide for your family. Take care of them. I grew up with a dad in my home, but I grew up without a father. We did not grow up with much. My father had a heart attack at 30 and one at 33, and we had medical bills forever and ever and ever. My dad had a college education, graduated from Penn State with an engineering degree, worked for the power company. Don't Don't waste your life just working and working and working and working and working. Your family needs you. Ma'am, I understand the world we live in today. And I understand that sometimes we all have to get out there and help. Don't spend all your life working. Don't spend all your life struggling with frivolous things that are so temporary. Men, we work so hard. We want our fishing boat, and we want our new guns, and we want this, and we want that. And we waste so much time. And our families are dying and going to hell. Have you been there where you spent it all? You spent all your substance. You spent all your youth. Have you been to that place where there's not even a number left on the phone to call? You've called your friend that's a plumber. Oh, because you know everyone knows someone. And you just don't know what else to do. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord has more in the bank than you can handle. Amen. When you get to a place where you've spent it all. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Bless us. Please, God, help us to follow you, to love you, and Lord, to seek you when we don't have what we need in the tank. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you been there where you spent it all? The wisest statement anyone could ever give you, young people, would be the stupidest statement you ever hear is, don't wait till you're bankrupt to check the bank account. I don't know about you, but that's the worst email or text message you can get is when you get that overdraft letter. That is terrible. Listen to me. Don't let that be your life. Don't let that be your afterlife. Don't check the bank account after you're already bankrupt. It's already too late. Make sure you know the Lord is your Savior. Make sure you know there's been a time and a place where you put your faith and trust in Him. Knowing there was nothing you could do to earn your way to heaven. And knowing that He shed His blood and paid the price for us to have a way to heaven. So how about it? Are you here this evening and you don't know for sure? You don't know where you'd open your eyes at on the day you die. The Bible makes it very clear that on the day we die, there's a destination ahead, heaven or hell. If you're here this evening and you don't know for sure that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, boy, I hope you'd get that settled. Maybe even right there at your seat, you just bow your head, call upon the Lord, trusting Him and asking Him for that free gift. Yes, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And in Romans 10, He tells us that the gospel's for anyone and everyone. And in fact, He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all you have to do is put your faith in Him. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God goes on in the next verse and He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, a prayer can't save us. Though it often takes one to receive. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Don't leave here tonight without knowing that for sure. And if you pray and you ask Him, hey, let us know. Boy, I want to rejoice with you. Christian, how about you? How short's that sin list? Have you been wasting your time and wasting your substance? Have you been wasting your character? Have you been wasting your life? Look at me for a moment. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to stand out in the checkout line and some snot-nosed teenager throwing my groceries that my wife made me go shopping for in the cart, in the bags. I know what it's like to stand there and you put the card in and it beeps and it prints out a little thing and she says, "Sir, I'm sorry, your card was declined." I know what it's like, oh, it must be a mistake. This goofy card's all roughed up a little bit. Here, try it again. I know what that's like, oh, too much. But see, that doesn't bother me as much as how we live when our kids need help and our spouse needs help. When they need us to have something in the bank. When they need us to be able to give them, listen to me, wives, your husband needs encouragement. This world's after them. Men, your wives need encouragement. This world's trying to rip them apart and destroy them. Trying to butt you up against each other and make you compete. You better have something in the bank. You better have something in the bank when your wife calls and you're halfway across the country and your little baby has an infection in the brain. You better have something in the bank, young people, when daddy loses his job or mommy finds out she has cancer. You better have something in the bank when dad ends up with dementia. You better have something in the bank. Don't waste what God's given you. Don't waste it. Hard times come and life comes with many things and issues and problems. Things we don't expect. But don't waste what you have left. Sometimes you got to eat an overdraft fee. It teaches you to cancel that subscription, whatever that stupid thing was that the kids signed up for on the stupid TV. Sometimes that happens and it's good for us and it's a reality check. But oftentimes it's our fault. I'm just going to give a couple more moments of prayer, even there at your seat. Why don't we do a little bit of a self-evaluation tonight? It's not all that awful late. Just for a few moments. Maybe some of us need a refill. We need to go to the God of God and the Lord of Lords and go to Him. Listen to me. His grace is sufficient. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You can use the altar if you like. Pray there at your seat. When you spend it all, God's got a whole lot more. When you can't figure it out, His knowledge goes well beyond ours. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 55, it says, "For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God has it all figured out. Psalm 147, the Bible says in verse 5, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." And see, you can't figure it all out. And the goofy Wikipedia can't figure it out. And your doctor can't figure it all out. And your friends and neighbors can't figure it all out. But the Lord knows. And maybe you just need to take a moment and search and talk to the Lord. When you spend all your strength and you're doing all you can to just hold it all together, And ladies, I know us men, we've dropped the ball, and oftentimes we've left it in your lap to try to hold things together in the home. And it's not right. And some of you out here, maybe a single mom or a single dad or just struggling, you don't have to hold it together. God tells us in Colossians 1, He says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth." He says, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. And by Him, all things consist. God has it figured out. God knows. Have you spent it all? Have you done everything you can think to do? Lord, we love You. And we thank You for Your goodness. Father, I ask You that when we get to that place where we've gotten a little bit low in the account, Lord, that we just do a self-evaluation. Help us as born-again believers to not allow ourselves to get so bankrupt. Allow us not to spend our character and to give it up so easily over such frivolous things. Lord, help us, please. Recharge us, refill us, revive us again. Lord, help us to have such an abundance that we just want to give out the gospel. And we just want to give a testimony. And Lord, that we're just overflowing. Lord, I ask that You bless us this evening. Help the decisions that were made. And Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as Savior, they'd get it settled tonight. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Yeah, you think about the